Chapter 1. This was always the best of it for Nate Brody. When he felt the slap of the ball in his hands and began to back away from the center. When he felt as if he could see the whole field, and football made perfect sense to him. Sometimes, when you were 13, nothing seemed to make sense, and the world came at you faster and trickier than flying objects in a video game. It was never like that for him in football. Never. Nate had been having more and more trouble figuring out his world lately, especially with everything that had been happening to his family. School was school. He tried hard, but there were times he just felt lost, in search of answers that wouldn't come. And no matter how hard he tried, how hard he could try, he was never going to make sense out of what was happening to his friend, Abby. But on a Saturday morning like this, underneath all the sun and blue sky, with the guys in the line already into their blocks, and Nate feeling as if he had all day to throw the ball, feeling that weird calm he always felt in the pocket, he had all the answers. Football was like this for Nate Brody. As he scanned the field now, he recognized one of those answers he instinctively knew. Pete Mullaney, his favorite receiver, was about to break into the clear. Once he did that, Nate knew Pete was going to run all day. When it was just Nate and Pete and some of the other guys on the team playing touch football in the empty lot next to Nate's house, they called this play Hutchins and Go. One day, Nate had told Pete to fake toward the Hutchins' house, the one on the other side of the lot, fake like he was running a sideline pattern in that direction, and then, as soon as the guy covering him bit, Pete was supposed to plant his outside foot and spin and take off down the sidelines. The play had just always been called Hutchins and Go after that. Nate watched as Pete sold his fake now, sold it like he was selling candy, didn't rush, even turned and looked back for the ball. That was when the defensive back on him committed, turned, and looked for the ball himself. Only Pete was gone. And the ball wasn't coming. At least not yet. Now it was just a question of what kind of throw Nate wanted to make. Because with the kind of arm he had, his buds and teammates always called him Brady, knowing that Tom Brady was Nate's all-time favorite player, there were a couple of ways he could go. Nate could put a lot of air beneath the ball, really hang it up there and let Pete use those jets of his to run under it. Or Nate could gun one right now, throw one of those dead spirals that was the same as one of his football fastballs, put so much sting and hurt at the end of the pass that Pete sometimes said he wished he was allowed to wear a catcher's mitt. Nate decided to put this one way up there. Moonshot. He rolled to his right now, feeling pressure coming from his left, a right-handed quarterback's blind side, without actually seeing it. But just to make sure, to know exactly how much time he had, he shot a quick look over his shoulder and saw that the Hollins Hills nose tackle had cleared Malcolm Burnley, Nate's center, and the best blocker Valley had, on an outside route and was coming hard, thinking he might have a shot at getting his first sack of the day. Nate knew he didn't. In no hurry, Nate kept moving toward the sideline, toward the Valley bench, almost feeling as if he were floating. Having cleared the pocket completely, a nice patch of open green waited for him a few yards in front of Coach Rivers. He stopped now, planting, making sure to square his shoulders so he didn't drop his arm angle and sidearm the ball, setting himself on his back foot, carrying the ball high. The throwing mechanics that Coach said you pretty much had to be born with. And he let the ball rip. Knowing that the cornerback who had been covering Pete was never going to catch up with him, and that the Hollins Hills safety had no chance of getting over to the sideline in time. He watched the ball like it was on a string, like one of those perfect casts his dad used to make across the water when the two of them still had time to go fishing together, before his dad began working all the time. He hoped his mom was getting this on the video recorder that was on its last legs and had been for a while, because his dad, working a double shift on Saturdays now, wasn't here to see it in person. The ball came down into Pete Mullaney's hands, Pete in perfect stride, just crossing the Hollins Hills 10-yard line.